Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study of Our Stand on the King James Bible. Part 2 of this study can be found on our website, bbfohio.com, where you can also click on the banner link to Pages and then the Bible Version issue for a full array of materials on this issue. So we begin with the current events update, and then our study, starting in Psalm 138, verse 2, titled, Our Stand on the King James Bible. This is part 1 of 2. The current events update. We're just going to look at this one thing, I believe, if I remember my notes right. Sodom allies. Do you know what a Sodom ally is? It's pretty much 2/3 or better of the population right now. They seek to imprison those who will not bow to them. And as I've said, Bible-believing preachers have been warning for decades that everybody said, oh, I think if we just let them, you know, you do know it once was a capital crime in this country. Under Mosaic law, it was a capital crime. Then they watered it down and just started fining them and that kind of thing. Then the Supreme Court threw it out and said it was no longer could be prosecuted as a crime. And then the medical establishment, including the American Psychological Association, removed it as a mental disease. And then they didn't only remove it as a mental disease, but they actually now are basically telling the rest of us that we will go along with this. We will take part in it and promote it and embrace it, you name it, or we're the ones with the mental disease. It's totally flipped on its head now. And so it's reached a point where they are trying to pass laws in certain states and countries. Not only that, you know, you can't say it's a sin, but if you don't do exactly as they say, including if a man says he's a woman and you call him a man or a he, you are going to jail and or being imprisoned or fined along with going into prison. And eventually they'll want to kill you. That's where it's going. This is from the United Kingdom. Dr. Helen Weberly. Her doctorate isn't worth a pile of dung, as the Apostle Paul would say. She posted this petition that is going being promoted in the United Kingdom for Parliament to make it a criminal offense if you misgender someone. Wow. That if you will not use their pronouns. And you saw the video if you were here last week, not only calling a man a she, I mean, they've come up with fictitious pronouns. They're not really pronouns, and you're supposed to use Z and Zim and all these weird. Yeah, that's what's going on. She said, this is a personal message to all those people that think it is acceptable to refer to some women as men. She means trans women who are men as men. But she says, calls them women. They are men.
Amen.
She says it is not acceptable. It is deliberately misgendering. Yes, it is. And it has already been classified as a hate crime, and you are guilty of that crime. Well, my response is, so I'm guilty of a hate crime for calling a man what he is and not going along with his pretend world delusion. Hate crime accusations are criminal slander and abuse on your part. Listen closely. I want you to get what my point is so that you can talk intelligently to these nuts.
Yeah.
Because they're so nutty, they'll catch you off guard. It's hard for you to know what to say. What I'm telling her is hate crime accusations are criminal slander and abuse on your part. She's the one who's guilty of, if you want to call a claim, she's slandering those of us who won't go along with this sodomite insanity. No. So I told her, you should be held liable for your hatred of reality and your abuse of honest human beings.
Amen. Amen.
If I see a man claiming to be a woman, and I call him a man, and I refer to him as he, then I am supposed to be put in prison because I'm being honest. I've told you this before. We've seen it already. And the more power they get, leftists will lock you up and kill you as soon as they get the power to do so. This is a lady named Jane Fonda. This is just, I'm going to start with one thing. There's three things that I'm going to show you where she's called for people to be locked up and or murdered because they disagree with her. She blames men for climate change. But she's specific for some reason about white men in their comment. But she says, we have to arrest and jail those men. This is Hollywood star Jane Fonda made the outrageous claim Friday that climate change is being caused exclusively by men, specifically white men, adding that those men must be arrested and jailed. Now, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what it is, their answer is to jail those, imprison those, and kill those they disagree with. As we observe Memorial Day, honoring those who died serving our country. Remember what leftist Hanoi Jane Fonda did to our men in Vietnam.
But no visitor made more headlines than the actress Jane Fonda. During 2 weeks in the summer of 1972, she broadcast at least 10 times over Radio Hanoi, denouncing American POWs for having committed war crimes, urging the North Vietnamese to hold out against American imperialism. Many Americans would never forgive her for what she did and said.
Listen to this.
According to international law, these men are war criminals. That's according to law, according to the Nuremberg Principles, according to the Geneva Accord and others. They should be tried in front of a court and probably executed for what they did.
Wow. That whore from hell,
yeah.
And let me say that again, that whore from hell,
yeah,
is calling for American soldiers to be executed. And you don't hear that from anybody. Mean tweets are unforgivable.
Yeah.
But call going over to the enemy and calling for, she should have been executed.
Amen.
She committed treason. She shouldn't be executed because I disagree with her. She should be executed because she committed a capital crime. In the meantime, she's calling on us to be imprisoned and executed. And she hasn't changed. She's still a cold-blooded killer at heart.
We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
I think the women will rise up.
That's the activist.
That's Jane
speaking, yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth.
Very soon.
It is the truth. But we're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous.
What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that.
Look at her face.
No, they'll pick up on that and
just
run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding. It's
well. Let me talk to you about.
She's not kidding. But listen, if you think Jane Fonda is the problem, it's not Jane Fonda. It's the entire spirit behind the left in this country. Look at this. Proverbs 8:36. It's talking about those who reject God's word. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Listen, folks, if you got leftists that you know, they may be nice to you, but they have murder in their heart. That's why they want to kill the babies. That's why they, even though it would probably end up with them being killed in addition, they want to confiscate your guns so that you can be rounded up, put in camps, and then killed if you will not go along with this leftist agenda. And this is the spirit of Antichrist filling the liberal left in this country and around the world. Daniel 7:21 tells us what we should look for in the last days with the spirit of Antichrist. It says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That's the tribulation saints, but it's the same spirit that makes them hate the church of Jesus Christ and all believers today. Verse 25 in Daniel 7, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, that's the Antichrist, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. The attempts to attack Christians and the church is an Antichrist spirit. Revelation 11, 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. It's one of the reasons we know the church isn't in the tribulation period. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. They will prevail against the tribulation saints. Difference. But that same spirit is here right now before the rapture, going after you, going after these churches just like ours. Anyone who stands up for what's right. Revelation 13, 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's why these leftists are calling for you to be imprisoned and killed if you stand against their agenda. Listen, I put signs in my own yard. I put a police Blue Lives Matter American flag on my porch. And they were so overwhelmed with rage that they came to my house and ripped those things down and tore them up. We were run off the road practically on two occasions, and they made clear that it was the Sodom issue, which I have one little bumper sticker. All it says is taking back the rainbow. And that was enough to send them over the edge and try to run us off the road. And then Jenny and I, a few years ago, were standing on the street with a sign that says, homosexuality is a choice. Turn to Jesus and be saved. That sign had an automobile full of sodomites run up on the sidewalk to try to run me and my wife over. So we've seen it, and it's going to get worse and worse. And you say, what do we do? Well, you can cower and you can bow if you want. But the better thing to do is be ready to die for the Lord. And if that doesn't sound like something you want to do, then you need to get right with God. The only thing I pray is, Lord, make it quick.
Yes.
I've always said, death doesn't bother me. It's the dying part that does.
Yes.
So our stand on the King James Bible is made necessary by someone I already mentioned. We finished the book of Luke last Sunday, and we're going to get into the book of Acts next Sunday. But before we approach the study of another book of the Bible, we want students to understand our approach. If you're not a student of the Bible, then you're not right with God. And that includes me. We're all if we're right with God, we're all students of the Word of God.
Amen.
And so it's very important that we understand that we have a Bible. Amen? What good is it to study a Bible if we're not even sure we have a Bible, if we're not sure that the Bible we have is without error, if we're not sure that we're studying God's Word, if it has errors, it's not God's Word. So let's look at what God has to say to begin with in Psalm 138 in verse 2. This is a memory verse for Jenny and I suggest any of you, again, all of you should be hiding God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. That's Bible memorization in a nutshell. And I would recommend you put this on your list of Bible verses to memorize. Psalm 138, verse 2. Verse 1 begins, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods, small g, will I sing praise unto Thee. Now read verse 2 with me. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Amen? So you look at that verse, and it contradicts the attitude of most professing Christians in these last days. I have had people come to our website and rebuke me because our website statement of faith begins with what we believe about the Word of God. And they'll say, well, it should begin with God, shouldn't it? I said, let me ask you a question. How do you know anything about God? Yep. How do you know anything about God? The only place and way for you to know anything about God is from His Word. Yep. So you must first establish your source before, you know, what good did it do when people taught about the moon before we were able to actually see what the moon was and see what was there? We heard about the man in the moon. Some people thought it was made of cheese. We watched a Dr. Quinn episode recently with a little boy. Can't remember his name.
Brian.
His name Brian. He's reading a book about how they took and shot a cannon. And they had like a cannonball big enough that a couple of people could fit inside of it. And that cannonball went to the moon. Well, he thought it was a true story, but it was a fictional tale. But that's the basics of what they did when they sent the Apollo mission out. I mean, that was a big, massive cannon catapulting them up. And I know a few of you don't think we landed on the moon. I do, but I believe there were shenanigans involved and all that. But we have a mirror up there, and they can shoot lasers at that mirror, and it bounces back. So somebody's been up there. But what they found out was a lot of what they told Neil Armstrong and the others, Buzz Aldrin and these others, they told them what to expect when they got there. And when they got there, this is another reason I believe we've been there. Because they made predictions about what the moon would be like when we got there, and they were wrong.
Yeah.
One of the things was they had these big boots, and it was because they expected there to be a huge pile of dust. Because it's been up there for billions of years. So it would have been collecting dust for billions of years. Well, they found what looked like a relatively young moon when the powder was only about that thick. So there's a lot of Darwinian predictions that if they had faked it, they would have pretended that those predictions were right. But they had to admit they were wrong. And so there's other reasons anyway that I believe. But listen, what good was it to teach kids anything of any depth about the moon before we'd been there? And the same thing's true about the other planets, about other galaxies and everything. I believe they're out there, but what you're being taught is 99% total bunk. And one of these days, we're going to find that out. Not by man's technology, but by God's technology. We're going to find out that a whole lot of stuff we were taught about, and in our Evidence for God devotionals, you can watch right now in the last 10 or so, we've been going planet by planet in our solar system, showing that the Darwinian model, blown away by the facts, and they all point to relatively young planets and moons around those planets. In other words, God's word is right.
Amen.
But today, you go to most churches, they don't put God's word where God puts it. Where does God put His Word? He says He puts it above His name. You go into some churches and they have these songs, a lot of them repetitious. You know, they Jesus, 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 all about Jesus. Oh, I love the name of Jesus and all that. Well, that's great if you have the right Jesus. But if you don't have the right Jesus, you're wasting your time. How do we know we've got the right Jesus? Put His Word above His name. Put His Word above His name, then you know you got the right name, you got the right Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God's told us this, but Christians know better. So in their churches, they make the Bible something they put down here. I've talked to people who've gone to church for decades and never had. We went for 4 years through the book of Luke, verse by verse. I've heard people say they've gone to church for 4 decades and never been taught any book of the Bible verse by verse. Now think about that. God wrote that and said, you shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He wrote that, and just like if I've written you a letter and you choose to only read the final paragraph.
Yeah.
How ridiculous,
yeah.
But also how sad. Well, if that page, these letters are several pages each, even the smaller ones. And you skip to the very last paragraph and you ignore all that stuff at the beginning. What did you miss? You'll never know until you read it. And yet, only a small percentage of Christians attend churches that teach through books, and only a small percentage of Christians have ever read the whole Bible. Folks, that is pathetic. Jesus died to save you from an eternal hell. And you can't turn off that stupid TV or video game or the internet or go leave the golf course enough that you can spend 15 or 20 minutes a day reading through the Bible. It's all it takes. 15 or 20 minutes a day, you go through the Bible in a year. Yeah. What a pathetic, shameful thing that Christians are going to answer to when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. At Bible Believers Fellowship, we magnify God's Word above all else. Amen. And we're not ashamed of it. We're maligned and attacked, ridiculed and mocked for it, and we don't give a hoot. Amen. Like Johnny Cash said one day, he said, I don't give a hoot in hell what they think about me. Amen. When he's saying he was a believer.
Amen.
Amen. Few non-KJV churches would agree with our position, but they also are not agreeing with God's position. And that's all we care about. We care about agreeing with God. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we see headlines like these. If you're looking, you'll see these headlines. I showed you this one last week. Percentage of U.S. adults with a biblical worldview drops to 4%.
Wow.
That means 4 out of 100 adults in this country have a biblical worldview. Now listen. It's supposed to be 20-some to 30% who are professing born-again Christians. So you're saying 20 to 30% profess to be born-again Christians, but only 4% have a biblical worldview. There's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah.
You know one thing's wrong with it? Preachers have stood up and said, listen, we don't hate anybody, but you need to understand Jesus called out, the Apostle Paul called out those who violated his word and preached a false gospel. And when a preacher stands up in the pulpit in most churches and he tries to warn about the false teachers, he gets in trouble. And various other wrested scriptures that they use to try to silence people who are telling you and doing exactly what Jesus and Paul did. So you have churches with pastors who not only don't teach the Bible, but I've told you through the years, that's why I don't go to the ministerial association meetings, because they're fakes. You go to the local ministerial meeting and ask them if they believe any book on earth is God's Word without error, and they cannot show you a book that they believe in. That's why they hardly ever preach it and teach it. And ask them what the biblical gospel is, and the majority of them cannot tell you. They'll tell you something like the golden rule. Yeah. Half of born-again Christians doubt that Jesus was sinless.
Doubt?
If he's not sinless, he can't die for your sins. He needs a Savior himself.
Yep.
That would mean that if we go by that alone, half of born-again Christians are lost and going to hell.
Yep.
Calling yourself something doesn't mean a thing. Parking yourself in a garage doesn't make you a car.
Amen.
Sitting your butt in a pew in a church building doesn't make you a Christian. No. Calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. And if you think Jesus was not sinless, you're not a Christian. You can't be. It's just impossible. Over 60% of born-again Christians between the ages of 18 and 39 say that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. They don't know Jesus. They can't be born again. They can't be truly saved. You can't be saved. The very purpose of salvation is for you to admit there's no other way. I'm turning to Jesus for salvation. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I'm choosing to go to Jesus instead of Muhammad or Buddha or whoever. I'll just choose Jesus. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. That's what that song is all about. Yeah. That's what that song is about. It's saying, oh, well, I'm not going to put down these other religions, but Jesus is just all right with me. He better be than all right with you. He better be your God and Savior. And you better understand there is no other. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name than Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. He didn't say, I'm a way, a truth. You have your truth, I have my truth. That's today's, it's just crazy. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, this is why this book is so important to us, because 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Falling away from what? This book. It's this book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?